Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Preds back in action tonight, going for game number 15 in a row to extend this point streak against the San Jose Sharks. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Alex Doherty from the Tennessean. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I had to set a couple of alarms this morning. Ever since Joe's mini coma, I've decided to take precautions and make sure I wake up in time.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
That's a good way to put it. Mini coma. That's about what it was too.
Is Joe okay?
Yeah, Joe, you need one of those World War II Blitzkrieg sirens by your bed is what you need.
Really get him up and moving.
Good Lord.
I'm
on a week run of getting up on time.
You are. That's good.
We're really on a roll.
There you go.
That's good. So, Alex, obviously, this team is playing really good hockey right now. We went through the numbers yesterday, and pretty much any way you want to slice it over the last month, they've been one of the best teams in the league, be that points, goals per game, goals against per game. They're playing really well right now. So, let's say they continue to play at a reasonably good clip here. They make the playoffs. How dangerous is this team come playoff time in your mind?
I think that we're getting to the point where you have to say that they'd be pretty dangerous. You can no longer say this team would just be happy to be there and just like, making the playoffs would be a celebration in itself. Like, I mean, I think, and the biggest thing for this team is that, I mean, for most of this year, they were a one-line team. I mean, like they were pretty much just Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, and if that line wasn't getting it done, then that was it. I mean, then it was probably a loss. And now they have four lines, all of which are contributing in multiple ways. They have a defense group that has finally settled into something, even though they're going through some injuries right now, and then their goaltending is back. So, I mean, those are the pieces that you need to be dangerous in the playoffs, right? You need to have offense coming from multiple lines. You need all lines to be good defensively. You need your six defensemen to all be pretty good. And then you need your goaltending to be, as good as it can possibly be. And that we've seen all of that right now. So now the matchups themselves are, there's a lot of options there. I mean, it's pretty much could either be Vancouver, Winnipeg, Dallas, or Colorado. All four of those are in the mix. I mean, they're all not great, but because they're all good teams. But I feel like in any case, whoever they potentially match up with in the playoffs, they're going to make that opposing team sweat. I mean, it's not going to be a steamroll. They're going potentially. I mean, there's 14 games left or whatever in the regular season. They're gonna roll into it with some momentum, so you feel like you would be a team that other opponents wouldn't want to play in the first round. That's what it feels like right now.
So how much, Alex, do you think this is like systemic improvement, or I guess a adaptation to the system? And if that's largely the case, then like, how good could this be as this team gets more talented under Andrew Brunette?
I mean, I think this is a lot of Andrew Brunette coming out in what we're seeing right now. I mean, the way that the defense has started to feed things into the offense and still remain kind of on the back end pretty solid shows me that I think Brunette's system is really starting to click. And then, you've also seen some things on the power play that I think finally, the power play itself has been kind of strange to watch this year. I mean, there's been so many changes and so many things, that have worked, that haven't worked. But even that, I think you're starting to see, like, okay, they're finally starting to click a little bit. It's not like it's, a top 10 or anything, but it's not bad. It's not an awful unit. So I think to answer your question, like, if Brunette was to get maybe – another couple of off seasons where he gets two or three more guys that he thinks would be just fit perfectly into his system, then you're talking about, like, what the Florida Panthers are right now. I mean, what the what Colorado might, you know, is, you know, what Dallas is. Like, I mean, you're talking about a legit cup contending team if they are able to play this level with talent that is, you know, premier talent up and down the lineup. I think that it would only progress naturally to being a top five team in the league, I think.
So on the Yossi front, he's obviously playing great right now. A great game for him the other night. And, you know, you look at the points that have just been rolling in for him. He's got 17 goals. He's playing great offensively. Defensively, the whole team right now is locked in. You know, for all year long, it's basically been Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar in some form or fashion in terms of the Norris Trophy conversation. And, look, both those guys have had great years, and they're deserving all those things. But where do you think Roman Yossi is in that discussion right now? Where do you think he should be in that discussion right now?
Yeah, I think there's pretty much no question he should be a finalist right now. I mean, and here's what I'll say, like, watching the Norris Trophy voting over the last, like, several years, there's so much recency bias in that stuff. I mean, if you have a hot start to the season but a cold second half, you might not even be in the finalists. But because Yossi is doing it this way, where he's getting this second half surge, just naturally the way the voting works, like, they're going to look at him more. You know, there's a reason why – one of the reasons I think why Yossi was left off ballots in that year where he had 96 points was because, like, he kind of was just, like, steady throughout the whole year. He wasn't, like – he didn't have a real hot end or a hot start. So this kind of surge where he's got, you know, something like 18 points in this 12-game or 14-game stretch, that'll do it. I think that's what you need, because it's not always just about, like, on paper, who has the most points, who has the best defensive statistics, who has the most hits, who has the most time on ice. It rarely is about that. I mean, you're dealing with humans that vote, and they look for certain things, and when this guy's name keeps popping up this late in the season, it's just natural. People are going to start voting for him. So, I mean, right now, I think the North finalists are going to be Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar, and Roman Yossi. That's what I would predict right now.
What do you think of the new guys, the new forwards, and the impact they're making so far, Alex?
Well, you know, the production is not there, but, you know, outside of Jason Zucker's goal the other night. But I think that line is really interesting with Sissons in the middle, because those guys, I think it's pretty clear that what Barry Trotz wanted to do was to get faster and to get speed that can go up and down the ice, you know, play a full game. I think Beauvillier is the one that I'd like to see, you know, him maybe a little bit more, you know, see his finishing kind of improve in the offensive end. You know, he made the mistake against Minnesota, but I don't think that had anything to do with him. I think anyone could have made that. That was a great play by Ryan Hartman. So I like what I've seen. Jason Zucker, I think, is the one that could really be the difference maker, I think, in the playoffs. I mean, that guy has another speed, and he's obviously older, but he's not, like, that old. I mean, he's 32, I think, 33 maybe, and I think he's still got another year. I like them. I don't think they're going to be, like, they're not going to run away with it and lead the team, you know, to the next level or anything, but I think it was a good move. And if you look at the change from going from Zucker or going from Jakob Trenin, a bigger guy, not as fast, but, you know, physical, to getting these speed guys in Beauvillier and Zucker. I think it was a great move. You got to get fast in the playoffs, especially with some of these teams you could potentially face.
Alex, last thing for you. I continue on a nightly basis to watch Nyquist play, and I'm just blown away with what I'm seeing out there. He's got 59 points, 18 goals right now, 68 games played. He's on pace for 71 points at 34 years old. I realize he's playing with Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly, and that's a heck of an opportunity for him. But a lot of nights, he's driving the offense. How, I guess, surprised are you that we've seen this level of success from him for as long as we have this season, where he's on pace to get 70 points?
Yeah, very, very surprised. This is probably the best surprise outside of maybe Ryan O'Reilly. Like, although I think Ryan O'Reilly, we knew that he was going to be a steady presence. You mentioned Forsberg. I think we have to put Forsberg, give him, you know, if we're assigning some sort of, like, you know, responsibility pie here, I think we got to give Forsberg a lot of the responsibility for for Nyquist's production, especially the assists. But yeah, he's almost got 20 goals. I mean, like, going into the season, if you said that you would get almost 20 goals from Gustav Nyquist and then just that many assists, you'd be fine with that. And he's doubled that in assists. So, and the other thing is he's solidified a top line the entire season. When was the last time that this team had one line that was consistent for the top line the entire season? I think even the
President's Trophy here.
Well, maybe, but even that, I mean, even the Jofa line, like, they had injuries to deal with. They were, I mean, they weren't consistently every single year, but it probably is that. But I mean, if you look at, I mean, they've been together since what, early November, I think, is when that change happened. So, I mean, that's pretty crazy. But yeah, Nyquist has been a great addition, and I don't think anyone saw a 70-point season coming from him.
Well, Alex, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll see if the Preds get point streak number 15 in a row tonight as they take on the lowly San Jose Sharks. These are always interesting games.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at Money Puck, and Money Puck says for the Sharks tonight, it says, this is a completely meaningless game for the Sharks. That's what it says. So dangerous opponent tonight.
Either way, Sharks 4 or Preds 2. All right, there we go.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you, bud.
Thanks,
bud.
See you guys.
Alex Doherty from the Tennessee and our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds. They're going against the Sharks tonight. They had kind of a tough game against San Jose a few weeks ago in their barn. We'll see what that looks like tonight. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Preds, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.